Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Holocult. You know what that means. We're back. And we are thankful that you've chosen us to kickstart your work week. We're glad to be here with you. It's going to be a great time. If you're new here, you're going to want to fast forward between 5 or 6 minutes because me and Kyle like to chat. Some people like to listen. Some people don't. Some people cry, like, get to the story, blah, blah, blah. But, well, that's not what we do. We talk a little. We story a little. Talk a little. It's just how it goes.
It's how gossip goes.
Yeah. 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 If you did not listen to last week's episode, the first installment of the Gulf Breeze 6, the Antichrist Hit Squad, you're going to want to check that out before you listen to this one because you're going to be lost. I'll recap it a little bit before the show, but you're going to want to double check that out. And before that, we got to get through the business. So check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and you'll find us there. Be part of the community. Join the cult. It's just, you know what? It's just awesome, really. It's just a cool thing. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to have featured on a future episode of our listener experience show, Kyle has the details in a well-planned monologue.
Yeah, I always script this shit. It's in the show notes, ladies and gentlemen. It always has been, always will be. But for those of you feeling a little froggy, hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Take that down in your internal note system. You use that when you write out your story in as much detail as you possibly can. Shoot it to that email, the one that you memorized. Yes, the very same. Then, once we get it, we flag it. Steve finds it, puts it in the patented filing system. Then, it gets turned into a show, and enlightenment then ensues.
It's a good time.
It is a really good time.
It is. I mean, it's a foolproof system, honestly.
We are kind of the best at what we do.
Yeah. It's foolproof.
Yeah. I mean, it shows. We're shadow banned for a reason.
That's a fact.
Duh.
If you'd like to support the show and the shadow ban that comes with it, please think about checking out the Patreon, where for a mere $7 a month, you get all kinds of extra goodies, including over 50 extra shows. You get these shows early, also ad-free. You get casket breath music, and you get some little merch goodies here and there, some little tidbits and coupons and sneak peeks and stuff. It's really pretty cool. I mean, what else can you get for $7? Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. You can also go to hollowskypodcast.com, check out the merch over there. We're currently going through the back stock, turning and burning all the old shirts out so we can get some new ones made. Getting some ideas in the works. They're going to be fucking metal. So that's
awesome.
That's cool. Yeah, go check that out. We got stickers and hats and all kinds of stuff over there. Find something cool. Also, share the show word of mouth. Always keep throwing it out there. Push it to the moon. If you got other content creators you like that are in the paranormal conspiracy weirdness realm, you'd like to see us collab, throw our name out there, tell them to holler at us, and we'll try to work that out and make it happen. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a wonderful, well-thought-out, well-worded 5-star rating and review. When I find it, I'll shout you out. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend, Rams D. Rams D says 5 stars. 5 stars. Love this podcast. The hosts are seriously freaking funny, knowledgeable, and relatable. Keep up the good work, guys. Ramsey from Kentucky. Well, Ramsey from Kentucky, thank you for hanging out with us and leaving us some kind words. We're glad you think we're funny. At least somebody does.
Yeah.
So.
It's like we're... The description was almost like comparing or combining Einstein with Harry and Lloyd.
That pretty much just...
I think that kind of accurately sums up who we are. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
I mean, like
there's,
I said,
there's no argument against it.
Yeah. Oh, yes, exactly.
Honestly. But yes. Love the 5-star rating and reviews. Thank you, Ramsey, for taking the time to shout us out. We appreciate it. Keep them coming, Holocult. We're past 1,000. We're also past 300 episodes now.
Get it.
That's a big time.
It is the big time.
That's, like I said last week, that's
welcome
too dumb
to the big leagues.
Too dumb to quit time now. We're in it. We are in it. That being said, we're going to dive back into... The Gulf Breeze 6, the Antichrist Hit Squad. I love saying that. I love saying Antichrist Hit Squad. It's so
cool. I feel like it should be like a comic.
It should. It should. But if you didn't tune in last week and listen to that episode, you should. But if you're not going to listen to me, I'll recap a little bit. So we have 6 army officials that were stationed at a German NSA listening post, whose responsibility was to intercept and decrypt Soviet nuclear messages.
Pretty serious job.
Important, yes.
Job. That's the word I was looking for.
So they were doing that and doing a good job of it. But, you know, listen to a bunch of Russian bores anyone. So
true, especially when you don't speak it very well.
Yeah. So they had pastimes, and their pastimes were weird, like me and Kyle's. Looking into the paranormal, you know, talking to ghosts, telepathic aliens, stuff like that. Just the norm, just the paranorm. They decided to try to contact this nether realm via a Ouija board, which we know breaks rules number 1 through 6, all being never use a Ouija board. But they did anyway. So, as they were doing it, they contact a plethora of spirits, ranging from, I don't know, prominent members of Christianity, like the disciples and Mary, and also this entity known as Sapphire, who me and Kyle have come to the conclusion that she's probably an otherworldly stripper.
Yes.
But she locks the whole crew in with this yarn she's spinning about the apocalypse, the oncoming Antichrist, all of these prophecies of the end times, which really has the 6 locked in.
And you know, to be fair, isn't that kind of what a stripper's supposed to do, is to get people locked in?
Yeah, cause earthquakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of these prophecies came true, being the 1990 Iran earthquake that Sapphire pretty much predicted spot on. And that made the six wonder, hey, she's probably right about this. And then she goes on to tell them that they were chosen by God to go back to the United States and kill the Antichrist. And they're like, yeah, that tracks. We'll do that. So where we left off, they were trying to figure out how they can leave their posts in the military at the NSA and get to the United States. Well, they went back and asked Sapphire, and she's like, just abandon post, obviously. And they're like, okay, bet.
I love how it's like the most logical explanation that she has for him, too.
Yeah, she's...
Leave.
She's like, why are we talking about this?
Yeah, just leave.
Why are we talking about this? They go on to sell all their worldly possessions and make fraudulent liberty passes and just walk off the base. They board a train to Munich?
Same thing.
Yeah, Germany. And they disappear. That's where we left off. So, the consequences of these actions are at the forefront of the mind of the six, especially now that they've already committed to getting the hell out of there. Because the Cold War was still pretty much at a boiling point at that part. And despite their rank, the six were actually pretty vital to America's efforts to kind of thwart nuclear apocalypse by gathering information from Soviet radio transmissions. Because they're kind of just sitting there and listening, essentially. Listening for any like offensive nuclear actions that were going to get going to start taking place. Just, you know, just kind of being at the forefront of the defense. When you got, like me and Kyle were talking about at the end of the show, when you have six soldiers that go missing that have top secret security clearances at such a critical time in the geopolitical landscape, that's not going to be taken lightly. That's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
So, best case scenario, if they get caught, court-martial, long prison sentence. Worst case scenario, execution. Worser case scenario.
How does it get worser than execution?
Total global nuclear war.
Okay, that is pretty bad.
Because if they're not there listening.
I stand corrected.
If they're not there listening, Russia could pop off.
True story.
But they're on a mission from God. So they knew that mission was far more important than any of these consequences. They had to fight for God in the upcoming apocalypse and kill the Antichrist. Hoping to cover their tracks, they chose not to fly directly to Pensacola, but instead they took a plane to Knoxville, where Kenneth had already prepared a friend to pick them up at the McGee-Tyson Airport, drive them to a place where they could get a ride of their own. And in true Antichrist hunting fashion, they purchased a used, rundown 1970s Volkswagen van.
Of course.
And piled in and immediately headed the 400 miles south to Florida. Unbeknownst to them, this would be a massive catalyst to their plans. So.
Interesting.
You've got. I just love that that was their choice. They're like, yeah, let's get this Scooby-Doo van and go hunt the Antichrist.
Yeah, that's kind of where my brain was at.
But I guess you need something big enough to haul six people.
Yeah, and I also figured that it would be not that attention grabbing.
No, it grabs. Oh God, once this breaks open, you're gonna be like idiots.
Yeah, because I'm thinking the opposite right now. I'm like, way to stay incognito. You pick like a turd van.
Yeah.
That nobody's going to think twice about.
Was actually probably their plan now that you pointed out.
Yeah, it makes the most sense.
So at this point, it had been barely 24 hours since they walked off the base. Their absence did not go unnoticed because it was six top secret military officials or military officials with top secret clearance that left. The official status at this point was considered absent unknown, but if they found evidence that they left on purpose, it would be updated to an AWOL. considering how important the nature of their jobs were and the pending national global security threat. It didn't take long for the Army to be like, hey, something's not right, and send the faces and the names of the six all throughout the world. Obviously, we talked about before, if they had been captured by the Soviets or defected, this could be a gigantic hit to the U.S. government and the safety of the U.S. in the form of a massive security breach. So I don't feel like I need to say that they were anxious to get to the bottom of the missing six. American and European authorities began to search Germany high and low, looking for the group. All the while, the six crossed the Pensacola Bridge in their Scooby-Doo van, hunting the Antichrist, headed directly to Anna Foster's home in Gulf Breeze. There, they planned to lay low for a few days, gather some supplies, and then head to the Appalachian Mountains, where they were to wait for the oncoming apocalypse per Sapphire's instructions. This, however, is where the story collides with another coincidence. Now, whether the six knew it and planned it or not is still kind of up in the air. But Gulf Breeze, as I had mentioned before, had recently been invaded by aliens. In late 1987 and the following years, the small town had become home to hundreds of UFO sightings, some which would go on to become known as some of the greatest known UFO sightings in history, referenced by pop culture TV shows such as being studied on the History Channel, also referenced on Kyle's favorite program ever, The X-Files.
Yes.
It has since become a topic of UFO discussion abroad and is still dissected and analyzed to this day. So before we continue on with this, I'll touch on the Gulf Breeze UFO incident a little bit. I think I might eventually do an episode on this because it was just such a pivotal UFO encounter in my life. We're just going to talk about it here a little bit. The Gulf Breeze UFO incident this is from Wikipedia, by the way, was a series of claimed UFO sightings in Gulf Breeze, Florida, in the United States during late 1987 and early 1988. Beginning in November, the Gulf Breeze Sentinel newspaper published a number of photographs supplied by local contractor Ed Walters that claimed to show a UFO. On November 11th, 1987, Walters, a contractor in Gulf Breeze, was allegedly immobilized briefly by a blue beam, after which he took five Polaroids of an object in the sky outside of his home. Walters reported seeing the object hover about 200 feet above the ground, describing it as being round or right out of a Steven Spielberg movie. He claimed to have made multiple subsequent visits to the UFO, recording, videotaping, and taking 32 photographs of the object. Walters further reported witnessing the craft land on Soundside Drive and deposit five aliens into the road. He stated that one of the aliens stared into his window, at which point the aliens communicated with him in English and Spanish via telepathy and presented him with a book showing pictures of dogs. A blue beam, which that's also kind of leads into the weird dog scenario. I didn't realize that. I may have forgotten.
Yeah.
That's weird. A blue beam of light then caused him to be lifted 3 feet into the air. Walter stated that the immobilization from the blue beam happened again on December 2nd, 1987. February 7th, 88, Walters allegedly photographed his wife attempting to outrun the blue beam. Walters also claimed to have communicated further with aliens. Here, his family reported 19 sightings and encounters over time. On May 1st, 88, Walters reported feeling the alien presence while he was at Shoreline Park after midnight, saw the UFO, took a photo of it, lost consciousness for an hour, and then stated that the UFO leaked some kind of liquid that continued to boil even 19 days after he captured it. This obviously led to a whole bunch of people thinking that Walters was off his rocker. A bunch of ufologists was like, hey, this dude is making all this shit up. It even got to a point to where after Walters had moved his family, a new family moved in, and they conveniently found a model of the UFO in the attic and almost replicated the photos that were taken. like it was this big disinformation campaign to get Walters to look like an idiot.
We should definitely cover that story because I really want to know more about why the alien communicated in your typical fashion of, hey, press one for English and two for Spanish.
Press three for pictures of dogs. The thing is, though, like all the big ufologists looked into it, Bud Hopkins, everybody was in on this, trying to dissect this to make Walters look like he was not truthful. But there were other witnesses, like dozens of other people saw the same craft that Walters saw. If you look into it, you can see their reports. So that's what was going on in Gulf Breeze before the six got there. This is important because it kind of ties in to some claims of what is about to go on next. Anyway, these particular sightings became a nationwide phenomenon and brought thousands of tourists that wanted to come and witness the crafts. This area, also should be noted, is prominent for military bases. You have Eglin Air Force Base, Pensacola Naval Air Station, Hurlburt Field, all within this little section of the panhandle right here. So there's also a big military presence. So these UFOs caused quite a stir. Now you add the six, the AWOL six, coming in, brings a whole new chapter to this weirdness that's going on in Florida, classic Florida things. So they get to Anna's house, and the group decided they would be safer to split up, five of them remaining in the home, while Sergeant Annette would go set up an emergency bug-out camp nearby in case the crew needed to split if Anna's house become compromised. In the meantime, they kept in close contact with Sapphire via the Ouija board. Sapphire told them that they were safe until Friday from when they got there. That's when they were to head to Texas to get supplies and then move on back to the mountains to set up base. What Sapphire had failed to foresee and let them know was one bump in the road. Anna Foster had a roommate named Diana, who as soon as Vance saw her, he immediately fell in love with. So now we're getting into the romance section of the novel.
I'm here for it.
Immediately, head over heels for this woman. He goes on record to say that he had seen her in his dream since he was a teenager. He believed that she was a soulmate and that the universe had brought him here to be with her. Immediately fell in love with her.
Please tell me the feeling was not reciprocated.
No. She fell in love too. They were soulmates.
I mean, okay, that's kind of cool.
The plan begins to fall apart here because Kenneth, you know, our A number one guy was already smitten with Anna and knew her before. So now he's got his little Florida girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Vance has now got a little Florida girlfriend, and they're just kind of cool with just kicking it in Florida now that they're out of the military and back in Florida.
Hey guys, I hate to break it to you though. I'm in love.
Okay? Antichrist is gonna have to wait for a little bit.
I'm a hard pass. You see, Diane, she cannot afford to lose me at this point. It's too serious. We're gonna get married and have kids. I can't risk dying before the completion of my journey. Cause I've been dreaming about this since I was a little kid. This is obviously where I'm supposed to be. So hats off. Good luck.
Sorry about you.
Sorry.
If there's one thing,
hey man, at least you're going to have more room in the van now though, right?
That's true.
It was a little tight in there. Got a little muggy.
Just looking out for you.
Yeah.
I feel like today's lesson is if there's one thing more important then God's plan brought to you from the nether realm from a supernatural stripper.
It's love.
It's tail.
Love.
Love. Same thing.
Same thing. This is a very Disney story today.
So as you might imagine, this didn't quite sit well with the four other Antichrist hunters because they had just abandoned.
They were just jealous.
They had just abandoned their top secret posts in the military. They're now hunted by the military, and Kenneth and Vance had brought them to Pensacola, where they're directly in the middle of all these military bases.
Dude, there you can't stop love, man.
Idiots.
It's too important.
Idiots.
Too important.
You have to also remember that these other members are in their early 20s. So now that everybody else is getting tail and they're not getting tail, they get bored.
I figure they got a little jelly.
So the youngest,
butter jelly.
Yeah, that might have something to do with it too. The youngest of the group, Mr. Michael Huckstedt, decided to borrow the van. He's just going to take it out. He's like, you know what?
A little frustrated.
I'm going to go out in the town. I'm going to go to the club. I'm going to bust the move.
Find me, girlfriend.
Just go out there, bust a move, you know, shake it off a little bit. And see what happens. Everybody else is having a good time. I'm going to have a good time. It's been a stressful few days. I'm running from the military. I've been talking to paranormal entities and Jesus's mom. I just got to get out a little bit, right?
Yeah, he deserves a break at this point, you know?
Yeah, which he's not going to get. The only thing broken is the taillight on the van.
Oh, no.
Which, unfortunately for Michael and for the rest of the group, got him pulled over by a Gulf Breeze police officer.
Who runs his name, and he ends up in Shit Creek real fast.
Buddy. The officer couldn't help but notice how nervous Huckstedt was when he approached the van. He asked for ID and proof of insurance. Did he have them?
Yes.
Nope.
Dang it.
Didn't have either. So then the officer asked him for his name, and for some unknown reason...
He didn't do it.
Michael gave him his actual name.
Oh, what an idiot.
Just threw himself and everyone else under the bus.
You could have gave him any name on the planet.
Yeah.
And you might have scooted by, but instead you're like,
I'm Michael Huckstedt.
This is a good time to tell the truth.
Yep. Yep. So the cop went out, ran it, saw that there was a bee on the lookout for him. From the Department of Defense.
Yeah, he's definitely going straight to jail.
Yeah, the officer says, oh, this probably isn't good. So he went back up to the van, and Michael, before he even rolls the window down, Michael's already begging him to let him go.
Please, he knows.
Please don't do this.
He knows he fucked up.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
And now the world's going to end because the Antichrist is still alive.
So now you got it. Now you have three demon hunter or Antichrist hunters down.
Oh, yeah.
Two are in love. One just got arrested. And now they're on the radar. Now they know
the general vicinity
of where everyone's at.
Oh, it's immediately worse. As soon as I started, it's immediately worse. I don't know if Michael sold them out because it didn't necessarily say, but they said they found enough evidence in the van to go directly to Anna's house and arrest everybody else.
You're a fucking narc. That's what you are.
Yeah, that's what
There's no possible way you found enough evidence to go directly to her house.
They also said that as soon as they got him to the police station, military security officers from Pensacola Naval Air Station came over and just took him to the airbase.
And you know whose fault this really is. This is Sapphire's fault.
Yeah, she overlooked this little problem. Yes,
that dude, you don't bring narcs into your Antichrist squad.
Nope.
That's a squad that you got to ride and die with.
Yeah.
You can't just go narking out your homies.
Yeah, it gets real bad for them real quick.
Oh, of course it does.
So the five were promptly arrested and shipped north to Fort Benning, Georgia.
Oh, so they all got scooped up.
Yeah, everybody done.
Oh, man.
Everybody done. Where they were each placed in solitary and rigorously interrogated. That wasn't enough. Then they moved them to Fort Knox, where they were interrogated again, and they were kind of let known that, hey, the punishment for this desertion could escalate up to execution because you guys had an important job and you walked away from it.
But in all fairness, they had a more important job.
To go to the club.
See, Kyle
knows.
Old Sapphire. I had to, man, I just, guys, you know what? Here, take the Ouija board, talk to Sapphire, and tell me, you, sir, you tell me that you aren't drawn in by her. I'm just going to leave it right there.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Especially when she's making earthquakes and shit.
Bro. Yeah. That's something Can't special there. Can't that's something her. Special.
So just like that, all of their divine intervention, all of their spiritual guidance, all of their being chosen by God fell apart, and all six members were kept isolated and questioned rigorously by not only the Army, but also the FBI, also the CIA, also the DOD, also the NSA.
So they had everybody.
That's,
I mean, at least they didn't get bored in solitaire.
Yeah, they are probably sick of talking.
Yeah, that's also true.
They just kept grilling and grilling and grilling to try and expose any inkling of treason or espionage. They were in there to get them to confess that they were doing nefarious shit. But as they would come to find out, and upon interviewing the six, sometimes the truth is just way more out there than espionage.
So they started to tell the truth then.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Good for them. Truth shall set you free.
They were like, hey, yeah, we're here to kill the Antichrist. And the DOD's like, excuse me?
You know, it's actually kind of cool. Because I'm picturing myself as a DOD agent and somebody just dead ass looks me in the eyes and go, I'm here to kill the Antichrist.
Can you imagine that? Like what did you leak to the Soviets? Tell us right now. And they're just like, nah, bro. A literal Ouija board told us we had to come here and kill the Antichrist. And I'd say, I'm here for that. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. So in an attempt to kind of thwart the military from killing their family members,
families got escalated to family members now?
No. I swapped points of view. So this is from the point of view of the Six's family.
Okay.
They immediately go to the media to try to like get the word out.
Okay, that's smart. Good play.
It's kind of puts pressure on the military not to just kill these six.
Yeah, it's a good play.
In light of the UFO flap, the media had a field day and it just kind of became its own thing. While the military was super tight-lipped about what went on, the press started going to family and friends of the six to try to capture info about what had happened. For example, the Tennessee man who'd sold them the Scooby-Doo van told the press that the soldiers had, quote, planned to go to Gulf Breeze because they thought Jesus Christ would make a second coming aboard a UFO. His wife's quoted on saying, it's supposed to be rapture time.
Yes. Well, I mean, at least I don't have a visual of those people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild.
I do wild. Love it, though. Imagine how fun that would be to investigate this story. To be the ones that like, have to go out and question people.
It would be such a left turn. Could you imagine being on the investigation team thinking you've got six people that just defected from the United States and possibly sold our entire NSA defense out to the Soviets, and you get down there and it's Jesus, Ouija boards, UFOs, Antichrist.
Dude, it writes itself.
It's automatically like so much pressure off your shoulders. You're like, thank God it was the Antichrist and not the Soviets.
This could be, yeah, you're in your head. You're like, this could be a lot worse right now, but it's definitely not.
Yeah, we're here for it. Another anonymous person believed to be a fellow soldier told the press that the six, quote, believed that the end of the world was near and that Jesus Christ was going to arrive on a Pensacola beach in a UFO to take believers to heaven. Very Heaven's Gatey of them.
Yeah, definitely.
Vance would hear these takes and go on record to basically scoff at these people. Which Vance is kind of, he's kind of just 10 toes down on his shit. He says, quote, Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. Why would he need to come here in a UFO? I feel like that might be a fair take.
That's a pretty valid point.
Yeah. Yeah. So, while a lot of people believe that they chose to go to Gulf Breeze because of the recent UFO interest, they thought, man, this is why they picked this. It's in the news. There's all these UFOs. It'll play into the story. Vance, again, stood down, held it down, that it had nothing to do with why they chose to go to Gulf Breeze. He told the investigators that he just went there because Anna Foster was there. And she allowed them to stay in her home. They just needed a place to camp out until they could get to the Appalachian Mountains. Kenneth, on the other hand, kind of dove into it. Kenneth later went on record to state that he believed in reincarnation and that he had been sacrificed to the gods in a previous life. He also believed that the government was working with aliens and that all this evidence was located in the Augsburg, Germany, NSA listening post where they worked.
Oh, shit. So he's just straight up unraveling a multi-year plan of I am figuring out my own alien agenda.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. He believed that mankind was closing in on an evolutionary step.
Dude, you want to talk about too stupid to quit? Security. That dude puts us to shame, man.
He went 100%.
Dude.
In.
He made it into like the NSA and all that. Like, that's far more than we've accomplished.
I don't know that I could think off the cuff that quick.
No.
I love how it just kept taking turns. Yeah. Can you be that interview guy? All right, Kenneth, let's talk about it. And the first thing out of his mouth is, I was sacrificed to the gods in a previous life.
I'd be like, instantly go, what the fuck?
I'd be like, Kyle, write this down.
Yeah.
Please write this down.
Yeah.
But yeah, he also believed that mankind was closing in on an evolutionary step, which is why so many alien entities were orbiting the planet, on the planet, inside the planet, and communicating telepathically with all sorts of people on the planet. He went on to further push that there are two alien groups, the Alliance, essentially the good guys who believed in free will, and the other ones that were abducting and performing medical experiments on humans. He went on to state that the entity they spoke to through the Ouija board named Sapphire confirmed to him and the group that the U.S. government were in fact working with the alien groups as he had suspected all along. So.
He's got to figure it out.
He was playing his own game. While they were Ouija boarding, Kenneth was just over here just doing his stuff.
I can appreciate that.
Vance, on the other hand, again, was adamant that none of that was true.
Hey, Holocult. We are back and we are excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. Have you ever been to a dentist who just wants to chat to you while he's got his hand stuck in your mouth? Or a dermatologist who brings up your cosmetic issues before you do? Oof. Well, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to settle anymore when it comes to finding the right doctor. With ZocDoc, you've got options. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. Once you find the right doctor, you can see their actual appointment openings and choose a time slot that works for you and your family, and then click to instantly book that visit. I haven't needed to actually book a doctor's appointment, thankfully, but I have gotten on the app and booked some mock appointments, and it is so easy. Believe me when I say it's a one-stop shop. You can get in there and search up your insurance to see who's got you covered. You can search up your ailments for specialists, from cosmetic issues, dermatology issues, all across the board. And you can even book appointments that's within the next 24 to 48 hours. It is really, really nice. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/HOLO1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. Hey, Holocult. Do you remember a time where if you wanted weed, you had to meet up with some sketchy dude behind the dumpster in a Denny's parking lot? We don't have to do that anymore. because you can get federally legal THC shipped right to your front door. How can you get that done? With Mood. Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com/HOLO and enter coupon code HOLO. I'm talking high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. Every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use coupon code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
And showed investigators as much evidence as they needed that their defection was a direct result of the Ouija board communications with the entity, and that Gulf Breeze was selected clearly because of the clearly because they had the tie with Anna. Their decision was solidified by the minor and major prophecies that came to light, the most major being the Iran earthquake. This convinced the six that they were in fact in contact with otherworldly entities when they deserted their post. Vance told investigators that each of the six, this was the one where I was going to tell you so much deeper. Vance told the investigators that each of the six had written a letter dictated by the entity in hopes that the letters would reach the hands of the president so that the whole country could be warned of the dire times ahead. So she sat there and dictated six individual notes that she wanted them to send to the president.
This is so weird. You know, because for a second I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. We don't know all the interrogation results, I assume. But for a second there, it almost seems like the crew came up with a plan to almost get everything dismissed in a roundabout way. Because if they all go into the interrogation with every one of them has a left turn story, right? Where it's like, hey, we're here to fight the Antichrist because Sapphire told us to. And the next dude goes, hey, I actually spent my entire life infiltrating the NSA to prove that you guys have been working with aliens. If all of them throw a left turn, where does that leave the case?
Right back to where it starts.
As everybody is putting the pieces together, they're like, these are all pieces from different puzzles because none of this fucking makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, like these people, bare minimum, these people are insane. Absolutely insane.
At some point, the investigators have to be like, why couldn't you just be Soviet spies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, Vance was adamant to push that Gulf Breeze was chosen because Anna lived there, not because of the UFO flap. Anna was actually interrogated by the FBI, but was not arrested or charged. They stated that she was only involved because she knew one of the men, prior to them being stationed at the NSA post in Germany. She stated that she was just opening her home up to a friend who she thought was on leave. However, the man that picked the six up from the airport in Knoxville kind of had a different play on thing, especially when it comes to Kenneth, or Kenneth sacrificed to the gods, right?
Yeah.
He went on to say that Kenneth was actually obsessed with UFOs, said he lived in a world, they were friends beforehand, because Kenneth came from Knoxville. He lived in a world of science fiction, talked about UFOs, and he was also interested in the end of the world. He called him weeks in advance to arrange the pickup and the purchase of the van. He said he was going to Pensacola for, quote, a UFO convention. So that kind of leads credence to that they did know that there was UFO shit going on in Gulf Breeze in Pensacola.
It could also start. It also sounds like it's beginning to point a finger right now, because now you're claiming that Kenneth was obsessed with UFOs.
Yeah.
And they specifically went to Pensacola for a reason.
Yes.
Not to mention, he already talked about wanting to prove that the government and aliens, he's the same one, right?
Yeah.
Prove that, you know, all that jazz. So what if, at least as an interrogator in this situation, my brain may start to tell me, okay, so let's say that these idiots all did get around one night. They probably got trashed. They broke out a Ouija board, started asking the questions, and Kenneth, with the overall hidden agenda, starts to manipulate the Ouija board. And then it gets all these other idiots convinced that they're going to go fight the devil, or the Antichrist, I should say, not the devil, the Antichrist. They're going to go fight the Antichrist and save the world. And somehow, in the recesses of imagination, all of these idiots fall for it.
I was hoping. I knew that the lid was going to come off the can of worms. And it was perfect, because my thoughts even went a step further, because Vance was into all this weird hypnosis.
Wow, yeah.
Hypnosis training.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, what if Vance manipulated one of them? Probably Kenneth, because he was closest with him and knew Kenneth was a UFO woo-woo guy, to orchestrate all this.
Could be.
But I couldn't find a reason why.
Well, then you also have to factor in fate here.
That's true.
Because homie Vince said he's been dreaming of girl.
Met Diana.
So there's love. There's an oddity as well in this situation.
Told you. Tale. It's all tale. That's playing the long game.
Dude, that's dedication, my guy. That dude deserves whatever he gets out of that one. That's
a long game.
I applaud you, sir.
So the story takes a kind of dark turn here, but it kind of lightens up afterwards. So you guys got to bear with me. This is a kind of critical part of the story, but it also then kind of gets debunked. So not that critical. I don't know. Whatever. We're going to talk about it. Ufologist Jacques Vallée reported that during his investigation of the incident, that Georgia State MUFON coordinator, Larry Heppebrand, told Jacques that he had been contacted by an anonymous source that worked in Fort Benning, Georgia. In the letter that the source had sent, he said that the source had been in on the examinations of the Gulf Breeze 6 while they were confined there. He stated that at least two of the soldiers, names redacted, had stated that they were in Gulf Breeze to find Ed Walters, the man who was at the helm of the UFO flap, who had been releasing photos and videos, because they believed that he was in fact the Antichrist. And the spirits, the one that the spirits and Sapphire had been warning him about. They believed that Ed wasn't just capturing these UFOs on film. He was actually putting out a signal calling them to Gulf Breeze for a future invasion.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So in order to stop the invasion that the Antichrist was calling in via alien spaceship, they were going to have to murder him.
Okay, a couple things here.
Yeah, that's an understatement of the episode.
Yeah. I want to know how it gets debunked, because Jacques Vallée usually isn't. He usually doesn't fumble things like that. Also, I hate to break it to anyone out there, and I mean no disrespect when I say this, Ed is not a very antichristy name.
No.
When I think of the Antichrist, I don't think Ed.
What if it's evil Ed?
I'm still not that scared.
Me either. Me either.
Because now, forever, when I think of Ed, I think of Ed.
Yeah.
Ed and April. though, like that's forever. Well,
oh, yeah.
I'll think of Ed.
Ed's not very.
He's not evil. No, no, he's definitely not the Antichrist. No. Thankfully so. Because if not, then we're friends with the Antichrist. That's,
I mean,
actually pretty good to us, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, I mean, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
Of course, the Six would deny these claims and call them absolutely outrageous. While they did believe that the Antichrist would surface, they said it never crossed their mind that it was Ed.
Sapphire, but they didn't even know.
Right?
Like, Sapphire didn't tell them that it was going to be a specific person.
Exactly.
And then furthermore, just to clarify here, in Jacques Vallée's reporting, he reported that two military people had this inkling for whatever reason that Ed was the Antichrist.
Yeah, two of the six.
Oh, that's two of the six. Of the okay. Six. So I was hearing it as it was two more people outside of the six. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. We got a little bit of
Yeah, this was two of the six, and it was sent it was sent via anonymous letter. So clearly a lot of wiggle room there. But the six came out and was like, listen, idiots, Sapphire told us that the Antichrist wouldn't even make itself known until 1998. It's 1990.
So you got 8 more years.
We can't kill the Sapphire. We can't kill the Antichrist in the United States if it hasn't made it out of Europe yet.
Okay. Another thing here real quick. What if, I'm just throwing this out there now that I'm processing information slightly better. What if
you're gonna love how this ends?
Hear me out. Let's say you and me's talk. Where you and me's in the military, right? We're these dudes spying on Russians and shit. We got a pretty cool job. We're the Mulder and Scully of the base, right?
Yeah, that they were.
Yeah, and we start playing with the Ouija board. Sapphire hits us up. She's like, "Hey, boys," and you're like, "All right, the name." The Ouija board, you got our attention. What's going on? She's like, listen, Antichrist is showing up in Florida or wherever the fuck she said. Antichrist is showing up. You boys are chosen by God to take this sumbitch out. You're like, all right. First, I'd say, Steve, you're fucking with me. I'd smack your hand and say, stop moving the fucking planchette. This is the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
And I go.
Yeah, and then it started moving, and I'm like, all right, well, this is crazy.
This is the coolest shit I ever heard.
This is the coolest shit I've ever heard. Then she says, you have to go now. And we're like, no. Okay, no. And she's like, okay, well, I'm about to prove myself. There's going to be a massive earthquake. That pans out. And we're like, shit, this lady ain't lying.
Dang it.
So now we're vested back in, right? And she's like, all right, you boys got to leave now. And we're like, dang it, Steve, we got to leave now. Like, we got to go do this. And then you find out more information. And she goes, hey, the Antichrist is going to show up in 1998. And then that is whenever I envision you and me look at each other and go, yeah, but it's 1990.
I have to live in the mountains for 8 years.
Yeah. Why do I got to leave now when my terms of service with the military is up in like 4 years. So I could just leave, not get tried for treason and possibly executed. I could just leave after my 4 years. Then I could go to Texas and get some supplies because I'm sure the supplies are going to be there.
You're missing one major factor, Kyle.
What's going on? What am I missing?
Not in God's plans.
Oh, well, I mean,
one major factor.
All right, I guess that's a real play there.
You have to.
You
have
just
to
literally
reach.
Trumped my entire
God's
diagnosis
plan was,
of the plan.
God's plan was
now
abandon
now
post immediately, live in the mountains for 8 years, getting spiritual enlightenment, then kill the Antichrist.
Oh. That's all I would do. I just envision myself on the Ouija board and I just type back O-O-H. And then she goes, hey, dumbass, I can hear you. You don't have to type it out.
I'm already reading your thoughts, idiot. also, yeah, God's plans.
Awesome.
reverting back to the letter, the investigation that Jacques looked into failed to surface any actual evidence of a plot to commit murder. And later, the letter to Larry Hepebrand was soon to be believed as completely unfounded. Just someone trying to insert themselves into the case and steer a narrative, which is weird because if you have conspiracy to commit murder, that also ups the execution of the six. So it's almost like...
Yeah, somebody was trying to take them out.
Yeah. Is it weird now? It's about to get weirder because in less than a month, when the six were arrested, keep in mind, this is massive global possible implications. By the end of the month in July 1990, same month everything blew up, the military closed the investigation into the Gulf Breeze Six in a bizarre and abrupt case closed.
Okay, because that's not alarming.
An article published on July 28th read, Washington, six U.S. soldiers who left their military intelligence post in West Germany and told friends they were going to rendezvous with Jesus and UFOs have been discharged from the army. They have been released from their military obligation and are civilians again. Army spokesperson Major Joseph Alred said Friday. So this is bonkers to me, right? They found no evidence of espionage. The six were quickly offered a non-judicial punishment, which, under the charges of desertion, the military quickly ended the investigation right there. This is their punishment. It went from execution to
community service.
They were reduced to the lowest ranks, which a lot of them weren't that high ranked anyway, forfeited half a month's salary.
That's a big hit.
Released from the military service, and it is reported that they all received honorable discharges.
Oh, okay. There's something fucked up going on then. There's no way.
How do you go from dying?
No way that happens.
Go from dying to losing a half a month's salary.
I just want to know if they're able to prove through the Ouija board that they were talking to Sapphire. That's the only fucking way this happens.
It gets better.
How?
So adding to the strangeness of this entire scenario, you have massive media coverage devoted to the six and the aftermath of them deserting the NSA and Cold War top secret listening post. The military, completely silent. Nothing. Nada. They're good. Nothing to see here. Even after the investigation was closed, they still refused to dive into it. However, a Pentagon official that was kind of tying up the matter to all media slipped that the group were part of, or that the six were part of a group called the End of the World, but later went on record to redact the statement and say that no such group existed.
So now I want to look into the End of the World group.
Yeah. Something weirder. There were 1,600 classified paged report on the six and their actions. That's a big book. Mm-hmm. It was declassified. 1,400 pages remain redacted from the public.
Shit, so you can only read 200 pages?
Of a 1,600-page report of the group that have been completely freed of any of their civilian honorable discharge military vets now.
I'm trying to think of like a logical explanation as to why the military... I mean, let's see here. Right out of the gate... The military could want to cover up some of the story because they don't want the initial embarrassment of the situation.
That was my first thing. Did the military have something to hide, or were they just embarrassed that six low-ranking officials made them look so bad?
It's just like companies that will pay out lawsuits before they even hit the court, because even if they're not in the wrong in that instance, there are companies out there that will pay these damages, not being in the wrong, but because they don't want any bad publicity.
Yeah.
They don't want it at all whatsoever. They'd rather just shell out a little bit of money, sweep it under the rug, and act like it never happened.
Yeah. But also,
to me, that outside of somehow the investigation, whether it be the investigation yielded results into Sapphire and these claims, or there were other departments that had contacted entities like Sapphire or Sapphire herself, most likely Sapphire herself, if it is in relation to a group dubbed the end of the world, there has to be more proof, probably more proof than what the six were involved in. Some, and then, of course, through the channels, now it gets shut the fuck down because now it's going to start raising questions from the conspiracy theorists. They're going to start getting their fingernails into it. I'm actually shocked that I've never heard of or heard anyone cover or try to attempt to uncover the end of the world group. Odds are, if I had to guess, dude didn't just slip up. Dude probably thought it was fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And out of like a, almost like a petty sarcasm was like, yeah, and apparently they're with this end of the world group, whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I highly doubt that he just accidentally rolls the name out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So the public and everybody's kind of on the same page here. Like, what the fuck is going on? Did the military have something to hide, or was it, Kyle said, just embarrassment to make them look bad? You would even think, even at that point, why redact so many pages? If you, like it's already sus. Just put the truth out there, you know? Like, hey.
My thing is, I just don't know. I think it's fair to assume embarrassment is at least a plausible cause of all of it, because you think about how shitty that makes you look whenever these soldiers who are kind of, maybe they're not NSA, but they're working alongside NSA, which is supposed to be like our big bad guys, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, the best of the best. And yet somehow these idiots, like, imagine we're not who we are. We're normal people. And the news gets out that your intelligence community, the people that are responsible for saving America, keeping America safe, figuring out all this shit, they were caught playing with Ouija boards and were convinced that they were part of an Antichrist squad.
It doesn't sound that good.
And we're going to come home to America and plausibly kill a fucking American citizen claiming that they were the Antichrist,
yeah,
who, mind you, had the ability to summon UFOs.
Yeah.
So, and then you have to take that alongside of the current heat with Russia.
Yeah. A lot of people were kind of up in the air about that.
So I'm not saying that is what happened.
It's definitely plausible.
I think it's plausible.
Yeah. Another.
But you, once again, to your point, 1,400 redacted pages is still kind of excessive for that.
Yeah. That's sus. Another kind of theory that was thrown out there, that maybe this whole thing was some sort of military psychic experiment. That the military was doing this to them to see how far they could get top secret, you know, dedicated officers to veer off the path in the name of
a bad idea, man.
Religion.
Well, MK Ultra did the same
exactly.
shit.
Exactly. It's almost like the next step in MK Ultra.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I like that. I think that's plausible. I really do.
And again, there might be some shit to
because
it.
Because you think about it, if they because even from the beginning of the episode, I question the reality of the Ouija board messages.
Yeah.
Right. And so this kind of has an explanation to that, whether it be all their drinks were laced in the apartment, you know, that night or whatever, however it all unfolds itself. And what better way, for the military? Because think about it, especially the time when we're at heat with Russia, and Russia had been in the rumor mill of fucking with things like MK Ultra and stuff like that.
100%.
So now our military is like, hey, we think we're onto something. Let's pick this little group. They're already woo-woos. Let's pick them. We're going to influence them. We're going to see how far we can take our military operators and convince, you know what I'm saying? Convince them to get them to go do things that they wouldn't do, especially under severe circumstances of the punishment being death. Yeah. And then you put that in, because that would put the same weight as, if this is real, this would be the same weight of America and now influencing Russian soldiers to do fucked up stuff. Yep.
You could even take it one step further than that, and you could go really way off the rails here. What if one of the governments were actually working with paranormal entities to come through the Ouija board to manipulate the six?
I like that.
That sucks.
I don't know how to explain that one, but I like it. And not to mention, even with everything that we've thrown out, I won't disregard the end of the world group. There's something more to that, in my opinion.
You're going to love how this ends.
Good, let's go.
You're going to love how it ends. So, to kind of further the theory that the government and the military was up to no good, which we know they're always up to no good because they do nefarious shit all the time. A few days before their sudden abrupt release from Fort Knox, cleared of all their shit, an anonymous letter was sent to several major U.S. news outlets as well as the U.S. Army. It read, ABC, NBC, CBS, AP, UPI, U.S. Army. Free the Gulf Breeze 6. We have the missing plans. The box of 500-plus photos and the plans you want back. Here is proof with close-ups cut out. Next, we send the close-ups. Then we send everything unless they are released.
What the fuck? Yeah. That sounds like it would have come from another country.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
Did that have something to do with the abrupt release?
I mean,
they sent, like, apparently this letter contained photos of something.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of led people to believe that maybe the six had actually tapped into something that they weren't supposed to. Maybe their own psychic experimenting at giving them some sort of fucking in on interdimensional entities or UFOs and extraterrestrials, or maybe it compromised the government's psychic research, but whatever it was, someone was onto it before the six was ever cleared of everything and made a pretty substantial threat that, if true, had them released within a week.
I don't know. I'm trying to, like, find a causation for it. Because I don't think that it would be anybody within our own military to do that. Because they would just go to the base and be like, hey, dipshits, let them go now because I outrank you and I fucking say so.
And what plans were they talking about? Unless the military was manipulating the six and whatever this entity, I mean, it could be the end of the world group.
But it makes it super sus. The whole thing is super, because if you're the government and you're getting, because I'm going to go ahead and assume that odds are the government had a fucking idea where this letter came from. If it's an outside country wanting the release of the six,
sus.
That's a little sussy, right?
Also, one thing that just popped in my head, speaking of sus, this was sent to multiple major news outlets. How did this not break?
Yeah. Which means the government had a handle on it.
Yeah. Which makes it very important in one realm or another.
Yeah. Yeah, to have that type of, think about that too, because that would take instantaneous containment being sent to all them news sites, unless they sent delayed, unless it was like, hey, I'll send this one to the Army first. I'll wait 2 days and then send the rest of them. That way they think that, oh shit, we got to contain this fast
and
or break.
Whatever was in the photos and the plans, if it was the reason that they were released unscathed, essentially, you know, they would they lose out on $2,000 or some shit? Yeah. Like, that's a big deal, because whatever this group had, the government did not want it to get out.
Yeah.
We have the plans or whatever the fuck. It's just plans crazy.
And the photos and all that shit.
Vance Davis did go on to publish a book in 1995 called Unbroken Promises, A True Story of Courage and Belief. I have not read it, but he goes in deep.
Might not be a bad idea.
About his contacts with Sapphire into the 90 prophecies and all kinds of shit like that. So if people can find a copy of that and want to dive into it, feel free.
I mean, he's doubling down on it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Has since fallen complete. I don't even know if he's alive, but he has since fallen completely out of the media spotlight after 1998 kind of came through and the end of the world didn't happen and the Antichrist didn't show up. So here we are with another strange mystery holocult.
And I'll throw out one last thing, because I feel like there's a lot of people that are going to be like, oh, the end of the world group is bullshit. Compare them. All I have to say, Collins Elite.
Yeah.
Almost the same MO, really.
Yeah. It might be the same. Might be
it might be the same.
Different name on the same.
It could absolutely be that.
You know? So did the six communicate with something beyond this realm via Ouija board? We will never know.
What do you think in regards to that?
I do need to point this out. It makes you wonder why the Marine Corps Engineer School at Camp Lejeune banned Ouija boards outright in 2013.
Okay, so I only have two avenues for this, because after hearing the entirety of the story, I do think that they were in touch with something.
Me too.
But I still can't get off the idea that there was outside manipulation. So, with that being said, and by the banning of the board, one in my head, there's two plausible explanations. It's fucking real, and we don't need none of this shit going on. Or governments of the world have figured out how to
tap into
the Ouija board, whether that's through your collective consciousness, because we all can sit here and agree that if all of our hands are on that Ouija board and somehow a government with the, what do they call that? The skull to fucking, you know,
telekinesis,
talk to brain shit, telepathy. Whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. Whatever
telepathy,
it is.
Telepathy, not telekinesis.
If they're, because that you could manipulate a person that way and influence them in that direction. Or however they're able to manipulate these boards, whatever it is, tapping into consciousness, tapping into entities, whatever the case may be. I feel like with what Steve said, they banned those boards for a fucking reason.
Crazy.
And there's got to be some reality to it. There has to be.
Think of the implications that could be set forth if it came out that the military and the world's governments had the capability to manipulate people via one of the best-selling games ever produced.
So I was also going to bring that up, too.
Also, think of the implications of people that deal with Ouija boards. They immediately think they've released something evil that is causing crazy shit to happen. It's almost like a psychosis. It's, you know, like, like it's unleashing almost like a schizophrenia of some sort.
Yeah.
If it came out that that was being done by humans in power fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And honestly, by your description of it, I know it gets portrayed in conjunction with television, but it, once again, we've talked about it before, reminds you of the Batman movie where Riddler puts the device on the TVs and it brainwashes people and so on and so forth. It still gives you that vibe.
It's crazy.
But it is crazy. It's a lot of left turns in that motherfucker.
I don't have any answers to Holocaust.
I don't either.
The Antichrist either. Showed up in 1998, he's still out there because the Hit Squad. Well, maybe not. The Hit Squad were released.
They were. Maybe they were sent off to do their job.
Yeah. What if that's why they sent the anonymous How letters with the pictures be? Come out? Let them go. They got shit to do.
How fucked up would that be?
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. The end of the world crew sent the anonymous letter, said, hey, you're going to release them. Because if there's one thing more powerful than like the military and world governments, it's going to be the entities of the world religion that says this has to be done.
I'm with it.
So let them go. And the government's like, okay, we'll get that done within 2 weeks. There you go.
Because to be fair, whoever sent that letter wanted them out for a reason.
Yeah.
It wasn't, they weren't just doing them a favor.
No. And it was,
I like that.
They had enough info that people listened. Which,
I like that.
Which, like, imagine what those pictures were to sway all aspects of the intelligence government community.
Bro, it could as have been well the Vatican. As the military.
That's. If there's one entity that wants the Antichrist gone, it's definitely the Vatican.
Well, and they definitely have the power. Let's not pretend that they don't, because they do.
It's crazy.
I'm sure the Vatican holds far more influence than a lot of people are aware of.
Yeah, I love it. So
I like it.
There you go, Holocult.
A lot of possibilities in that one.
The Gulf Breeze 6 and the Antichrist Hit Squad. Do we have any answers? Absolutely not. More questions, actually, but that's what we do. So, yeah. Hope you had a good time. Curious to hear the feedback on this because what the fuck? I also wanted to go through and read some. I found some of the newspaper articles that came out during the actual time that they were arrested. And I just want to read the titles to you. AWOL soldiers excuse. The Ouija board made us do it.
Love it.
UFOs. Jesus may figure in weird AWOL case. Study of Bible led to group's desertion, ex-soldier says. Soldiers allegedly desert to kill Antichrist. These are real newspaper articles.
Those are awesome.
So, yeah.
I like it.
You can look it up. It's all over the place. Just search up Gulf Breeze 6. Again, go show Wartime Stories some love. It's where I got a lot of information. They compiled a lot of work and put out a lot of references. So definitely go kick it with them. Interesting case. Curious to hear what you guys think about it. So again, check us out on all our socials. Share the show. Help push the show. We appreciate you guys. Hope the work week goes good. Until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and now more than ever, do not trust a Ouija board, because if there's one thing worse than paranormal entities influencing you, it's the government influencing you.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.